I'm going to be pissing like crazy today on this episode.
Why?
Because. Now, you may be familiar with those water bottles that track your water intake.
I'm vaguely familiar with them, yes.
Vaguely familiar with one of those. Well, you certainly don't need them when you have terrible protein powder that you need to constantly refill and chase with other water. So that,
oh, dear.
Because it doesn't dissolve and it just scratches your throat as it goes down. And also tastes like all-purpose flour.
How much of this powder did you buy?
I bought a big tub of it because I was like, well, I need to cut down my dairy intake and the whey protein stuff isn't, it's making my tummy rumble, but it's bad. It's bad,
yeah,
stuff.
And I'm guessing you have most of it left still?
Yeah, I've done 2 scoops of it and I don't think I will do any more scoops of it.
I was going to say, do you want to send me home with some of it or are you just going to
toss it? I would not wish that upon you. It hurts. It hurts so bad.
Okay, well, if the episode seems a bit stilted, it's because we'll be pausing and restarting multiple times so everyone can go piss.
Oh, man. This week on Light Gaming, we take a trip down to the Southwest and Nancy Drew, the secret of the Shadow Ranch.
Then in the back half of the show, we'll be recording live as each of us brews a cup of hot tea.
I cannot drink anymore. Kiss 100 boys in bars or just one. Welcome to Light Gaming, the lighthearted gaming podcast about light games. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I am joined by the clever, witty, and spectacular co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock.
Boy, it sure is. It sure is hot here in Arizona.
It sure is hot there in Arizona. I am not in Arizona. I'm stuck in Chicago because my plane exploded.
So are they going to get you on another one?
No, of course not. It was a ticket from Southwest. They just refunded, I don't know, a quarter of it.
Well, I'm here on Shadow Ranch. I got to tell you, it's a bad scene down here.
Really? Wow. Well, I can't wait to hear all about it. If you're not familiar with Nancy Drew games, we have a couple episodes in our Stormbuds backlog about Nancy Drew, and we decided we're going to keep that going.
Because these games are fun.
These games are really, really fun. So, without further ado, Alex, tell us all about the ooey gooey details and the making of Nancy Drew and the Secret of Shadow Ranch.
Yes. So, Secret of Shadow Ranch is a point-and-click adventure game that came out in 2004. It is the 10th Nancy Drew game, but still is pretty early on in the series.
I'm sorry. Did you say 2004?
Yes, this game came out in 2004.
I thought it was so much older than that.
No, this game came out in 2004.
I guess it makes sense. It has 3D graphics.
I mean, the thing really is that, like, this is kind of from the first era of Nancy Drew games where they all had this same interface, like the blue textured interface.
Oh.
Like this kind of particular menu style and interface style is a certain kind of epoch of these titles before they then begin making it a bit more modern, quote unquote, modern as we get into some of the later titles like Shattered Medallion and Silent Spy.
Mm-hmm.
This one also is widely considered to be one of the better games in the franchise. Also, you can see why it was very popular in 2004 with its audience of 11-year-old girls, because it also has a lot of stuff to do with horses.
Yes, that makes sense. They really kind of hit the topical, not the topical, they really cornered the market with this one. You are Nancy Drew. You are the premise of this game. I'll go into the premise of this game. Why not? I'll give it a shot. You are Nancy Drew. You are on a trip to Southwest Arizona. Somewhere.
Arizona, yeah.
You are to meet up with Bess and George at Shadow Ranch. Bess and George's aunts, the Raleighs, own this ranch, and they want to go around riding horses in the desert. Yeehaw, that sounds like a fun vacation time. But of course, things are never quite so easy in a Nancy Drew game. Also, Bess and George are cousins. I didn't know that.
Also, like almost always they make no appearance here because every single day their flight is delayed for a different reason or they're shunted to a different state.
And they're just, yeah, they're just waylaid into Omaha and St. Louis and whatever.
This game has four NPCs and it's going to get maximum use out of all of them.
This game does have four NPCs. It also includes the ability to call the Hardy Boys. This is
yes,
a first
right.
for me. That was interesting.
This was kind of a thing they were doing. So they were like, the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew were like published concurrently and sort of lower, like, were like titles that existed alongside each other for a very long time. I don't believe they ever officially crossed over until I think it was in the late 90s or early 2000s when the publication rights got folded under the same umbrella. They started to have some Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew crossover novels. I remember seeing this at the library. I don't think they were very good. But I think also like this game would have been about that time as well, where like they were trying to make, I think, I don't know, the Kid Sleuth media universe kind of a thing, which is all but weird. There were never any Hardy Boys video games, which sucks. That would have been cool. I would have played the shit out of games that were this, but with Frank and Joe.
Yeah, they seemed all right. They had a running gag that relied on the willingness to forget that caller ID exists.
Oh,
which
yeah, right.
It did exist in 2004. So enjoy that if you dive into this game. I thought this game was pretty funny. Also, speaking of other characters, those four other characters, pretty creepy and corny and weird and awful at times.
They're all
there's the cook who is just this how do you describe this cook? He's kind of a mix between like Leslie Jordan and the guy that talks in The Simpsons like, "Yes, I had a stroke."
He's sort of camp, sort of like, I don't quite know.
He is there and he has a horrifyingly slow turnaround animation that you have to sit through every time you hover over him. It's terrible. And he, every time you do a task for him, which involves... Hey, Nancy, you better go pick those vegetables and they better all be ripe or I'm gonna put you in the oven. Like, oh my God, what do you mean? Like, he's so
threatening.
Yeah,
that's a good, that's the voice. You got it.
And then every time you do it, he says it with the same canned response over and over again, "Good for you." And it's awful. I hated waking up every day in that game. Well, I hated waking up the first day in that game and doing those tasks. And then I'll get to why maybe I personally didn't wake up in the later days of that game. Because there are some relics of 2004 Her Interactive Games that really, really funked me over.
Yeah, no, I'll say, I think the first two-thirds of this game is quite good. I think the last third of this game is not good.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I watched it on a YouTube video. Well, I don't really have to bury the lead here. Here's what happened to me. I went out there, and we'll talk about the other characters in a moment. I went out there, right, picked my damn vegetables, came back in, did all the stuff. I had to learn how to ride a horse, and I had to learn about every single body part of the horse so that I could, what was his name, Tex? I could pass Tex's exams while riding the horse. It's just a complete and utter knowledge check. You do not have access to the books in
while you're
game,
doing it.
While
nope.
you're doing it, no, because you're riding the horse, so you have to either take screenshots or whatever, and I did all that work. Only to then, when I had to wake up the second day, pick up vegetables, I did all the other stuff too, get bitten by a snake on the ranch and die and lose that entire day's progress and have to take the quiz again?
Oh, yeah, no, that happened to me too. Actually, that happened, the exact thing happened to me.
Fuck all of that. I'm not playing that. I'm going to watch the rest of a 4-hour YouTube compilation.
Okay, I played the whole thing. Did you get far? Like, my favorite part of this game is the insistence with which the game makes you, every single time you want to take your horse out, go get the saddle, tighten the saddle on the horse, and load it up. Then when you get back, you have to take the saddle off the horse and return it to the shed. If you get back and forget to take the saddle off your horse, you get a game over.
Why? Because you fall off and die?
No, because Tex costs you and is like, I told you to take your saddle off whenever you get back, and you get in trouble and they send you home. You could also get sent home for picking the wrong vegetables too many times.
So save often if you played this game.
You can also get mistake. You can also get sent home for harassing the chicken in the hen house, the one
that fucker, that fucking thing. I did not want to touch that chicken more than once. Holy shit, there's a that jump scare chicken. It's nuts. No, that's not my favorite part of the game. My favorite part of the game, well, it's a bit later in the game, but it is when Nancy just gets conked in the head.
Yeah, yep, uh-huh.
That made me laugh.
And thrown in the jail cell.
Mm-hmm. Thrown in the jail cell. Oh! So Tex is the other, one of the other characters we mentioned.
Can you do Tex?
Yeah, he is this, he's like, tries to be gruff, but his voice is really breathy, so he's like, Hey girl, how do you like them apples? Well, not as much as the horses. You now need to learn how to feed every horse, and every horse has a specific feed thing. And if you mess up the feed colors of the horses, I'm going to send you back home in a crate.
Yep, that's what he sounds like. That's also quite good.
Thanks. it was, yeah, he was good. I liked that. There's actually, yeah, and then there's the other guy. We're going to go through the characters, and then we're going to talk about what the actual mystery is. We haven't dealt with
specifically. Yeah.
We haven't delved into the mystery, because the mystery to me is second fiddle to these characters.
I'm talking about the mystery a little bit, but more in the context of the book, which I want to speak about a little bit.
Oh,
but...
boy. The other character is this smoke show that picks you up. What was his name? I never remember.
Jake
Gyllenhaal. He is the ranch hand there, and he over the course of the
Dave,
game.
His name is Dave.
Dave. Okay. Over the course of the game, Dave may or may not start taking a little liking to old Nance, but we'll see how that turns out.
It doesn't turn out.
What the fuck? Don't spoil. Don't spoil this 21-year-old game. Anyway, then the final character is Yazzie. And
yes.
I love Yazzie.
Yazzie's great.
So inconsistent, but also such a diva.
I do feel the need to point out she's supposed to be Native American. She is not played by a Native actress. She's played by a white lady.
She's played by a white lady doing a voice. Uh-huh. So
that sounds Minnesotan most of the time.
It does sound very Midwestern. And she puts a lot of pauses in between her words, to the point, like, so much so that I also looked it up. I don't want to say her name, because why not? Because no thanks. But yeah, it's like, oh, this is kind of a caricature little bit, unfortunately. But I did still like talking to her, because she's just mad all the time.
The bit where Nancy tricks her into talking about her boyfriend, and then she's just like, oh, Nance, you got me.
No, I'm not doing the voice. I'm not doing the voice.
It's like, oh, Nance, you got me. You're pretty sharp. And it's like, yeah, she got fooled by the 16-year-old.
Do you have to fool her, or can you also fool Tex? I can't remember.
I don't know. I fooled her, the thing.
Yeah, the video I watched also fooled her.
And then she makes you go sort all those fucking rings.
That was a puzzle that I'm glad I didn't actually do, because it looked like easy and tedious.
Okay, so...
The mystery... We got to talk about that.
Right, yeah, mystery. Cause I'm talking.
The mystery is that we're on this ranch. I know you want to talk about it, but we got to just say it.
Yes, okay.
The secret of Shadow Ranch is that there is a glowing horse that shows up at night, and every time it does, something bad happens at the ranch. Lights get blown out, the water tank explodes, somebody gets gonorrhea, something bad happens.
It could be, is it sabotage or is it a curse?
Well, with the case of gonorrhea, definitely both. What did you want to say now?
Oh, the structure of the game is like, okay, this horse is showing up. It seems like someone is like trying to create distractions or scare people off the ranch or whatever. And what begins to unfold is that there was, back in the 1800s, there was this guy named Dirk Valentine. He was an outlaw. He was sweet on the daughter of the local sheriff. They had a good romantic thing going on. They actually, they have a number of romantic notes that you find throughout the game that are quite well written and honestly touching.
Like, except for the fact that Dirk Valentine's voice is like a bored Dale Gribble the whole time. He's like, I love you, Francis. You will find my treasure in this, and it will show my love for you. But first, you must underneath the cupboards of the staircase. And I'm like, oh!
Okay, sure, right. Those later letters, not so much. But like the early letters are quite romantic.
Yeah.
Point being, this guy was an outlaw. He got...
I want 269 with you.
He was killed, but... he buried his treasure somewhere, so like, you know, people want to find it because bank robbery stuff, and that's your motive, right? You're finding out what happened all those years ago, where he hid the treasure, and trying to stay one step ahead of whoever else is also looking for it and doing all the stuff on the ranch in order to like, you know, cover their tracks.
You up?
So shut up. So for this one, I also read the 1965 novel, Nancy Drew, The Secret of Shadow Ranch, which I'd only done this once before. I did this with The Curse of the Black Cat, which was the book that Waverly Academy was based off of, which we played recently. Mm. Nancy Drew, The Curse of the Black Cat was a book from the early 2000s, and I read that book, and it was not very good. I did not comment on that in that episode because I had not read a Nancy Drew book in like 20 years. I didn't know what quality they used to be. It was just one of them. Mm. I read Secret of Shadow Ranch from the 60s for this show. That book rips. That's a really
cool.
Like, it's actually a fun, propulsive mystery with twists that make sense. And Nancy is a character who makes decisions and comes up with plans.
Yeah. So you shared snippets with me from like the very beginning. And I said to you, that is not how the game starts.
Yeah. No, it's not. Well, weirdly enough, Waverly Academy was really only very loosely based on like the Curse of the Black Cat or whatever. This game, in the first two thirds, when it's at its best, is actually sticking pretty close to the stuff in the book. Like a lot of the clues are the same. The stuff with the watch, the stuff with the photos, and like that are torn in half, looking for the green bottle in the basement.
What about catching the stuff with the tricolored clock and then the triangle cabinet in
right.
the corner and the three levers? Was that in the book?
No. Well, see, and
huh,
here,
weird.
And here's where we get to the problem, because in the first two thirds of the game, it's got a bit of that stuff kind of sprinkled in to sort of like get your progress, but also the thrust of the mystery is intact and the clues make sense and everything ties together. And then on the final day, it is just esoteric puzzle after esoteric puzzle,
yeah.
All of them linked together by this tenuous trail of notes that you find, none of which make any sense, all of which involve weird mechanical puzzle boxes.
If I were Francis, I would have left this fucking cryptic motherfucker in the dust.
I'm not surprised you never found the treasure. Would you have figured out the tuning fork puzzle?
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, no. Do it in this room so it will shatter this glass bulb on the wall?
What the fuck,
dude? Sorry, I saw the tuning fork puzzle out in the street instead.
Yikes. Oh, boy. I don't know what else there is to say about this game. I think
Shorty is the villain in the book as well. It's
hey,
better set,
spoilers.
It's better set up there because he's a character who does things and is also tied to this gang of bank robbers out of Chicago who are more firmly established.
Oh.
This game alludes to some bank robbers
in
Denver.
Yeah,
exactly. But doesn't go anywhere with them.
Okay.
And it's not really clear how... At the end, you just find the treasure, and then he catches up with you, and then, oh, God, that goddamn maze puzzle.
Yeah, you have to, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that, I think, is about going to cover us for this discussion of Nancy Drew, Secret of Shadow Ranch. Now, as for hold on, there's one thing I wanted to say. What's the point of a pretty good Nancy Drew game?
What's the point of, like, what do you mean by that?
I was kind of like... I think, thankfully, I did stop, but I was also, as I was going through, I was like, this is pretty good. But, like, where's the meat? Where's that good, good Patrick shit jumping into the lake?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I don't know that I like this more than the Shattered Medallion, because the Shattered Medallion was so stupid.
I liked this more than the Shattered Medallion in the first two thirds, because like I said, the story actually kind of worked for me. The
okay.
problem is like, it really is that third day where it's like, oh, the story has gone off a cliff, and now it's just all the dumb puzzles, and that Venn diagram is not particularly interesting.
I kind of want a stupid bad story about a fake pandemic. That's very, very incorrect. Like, that's what I guess that's just what I've grown to expect and get fond of. So I didn't.
We're going to bounce around a little bit still. I think we're going to do more of the dumb ones. We're going to.
I've picked the next one.
Yes.
I've played this. It fucking rips. This one's got, oh man, is it stupid? But it's like I can't wait. It'll be next month, obviously.
I guess the last thing I want to say about this game as well, though, is like, I guess, yeah, it really is, I think, interesting as an artifact from 2004, right? And again, especially as, like, these games were popular with people who were not playing a lot of other games at the time.
It's not for me, a 35, nearly 36-year-old man.
But, like, it's interesting to look back and be like, this is, like, an old school adventure game in all the weirdest ways. Like, it's all the random death stuff is just pulled out of like King's Quest, right? Like, it's old like Sierra titles. Like why does the Nancy Drew game just let you uncover a snake and die?
Does Nancy Drew get poisoned by a scorpion in the book?
No.
Holy shit. Does she get whacked in the head in the book?
Oh, even better. Oh.
you have to tell me.
They're investigating an old hotel, which is basically kind of like their version of
the... And when you say there, Bess and George show up in the book.
Yes, Bess and George are there the entire time, along with a girl named Alice, who is Bess and George's other cousin, I think? Like, a lot of cousins.
Fuck?
Bess, George, Alice, and Nancy are the crew in that book, and they're exploring Shadow Mountain to try and figure out what's going on, and they find an abandoned hotel, which is much like the kind of, like, playing the part of sort of like the abandoned town that you find in this game. Whoa. And there's a guy there who wants to put them off the trail, so he starts a landslide further up the mountain, and the whole hotel shifts and almost collapses on its foundation, and Nancy falls through a disintegrating banister and hits her head hard enough to get stunned. And you might think stunned figuratively, but the book makes a point of calling out the fact that, like, she does not hear Bess and George calling for her for a while.
Oh my God.
So the implication is pretty strong that Nancy gets a concussion.
That's awesome. Well, finally found a pretty good Nancy Drew game as we were bouncing around. Thanks for the rec, Alex. We are going to... God, I mean, I mentioned it in the cold open. I'm genuinely just going to piss like crazy, and then we'll be right back.
All right, this week we are sponsored by
Dak and Blecker.
Now available for pre-order, they have their new smart toaster, the Toast 3, coming out later this spring. The Toast 3 comes with a whole host of advanced features, including, remote control management. You can use the app on your phone to schedule your toast. You can adjust the LED patterns around the edge of the toaster in a variety of colorful patterns. And perhaps most importantly, the Toast 3 is the only toaster that takes your cybersecurity seriously.
Can the Toast 3 track how much toast you've had over the day?
Yes.
If you've hit your toast limit?
Yes. It has a number of convenient bar charts that you can pull up that show your carb absorption by basically what you do is you plug in your whole diet, you give it your age, height, weight, dietary goals, everything else, and then it monitors the amount of toast that you make throughout the day, and it calibrates that against a carbohydrate goal.
Wow.
And unlike other products from competitors like KitchenAid and Cuisinart, the Toast 3 has never been hacked and has not had any massive data breaches that have leaked personal information to foreign adversaries.
Wow, that's really impressive.
It is.
Is it SOC 2 compliant?
It is SOC 2 compliant.
That's fantastic news.
It's got a little stamp on the bottom and everything. You can check for yourself.
That's hard to get.
Uh-huh. It's that's how serious they are about toaster security.
That's cool. That's great that they passed the audit.
It's just, you know, they sat back.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you, when making a request via your Toast 3, is it possible to modify the host header so that you can put any URL you want into the browser of the Toast 3 and redirect any user to any malicious site that you wish?
You know, I could try it right now. I mean, that'd be a pretty glaring holy shit, it is just passing plain text. What the hell?
Huh. Okay. Well, there goes that suck too.
It still has a variety of beneficial features, even if your personal information is fully exposed to the web.
Well, yeah, that's good. I do want to know how much toast I've had. I keep forgetting.
Well, good for you. You can now pre-order for $399.
That's great for me.
Pick it up at your local
Dak and Blecker
store April 20th.
Wow. Full price, I guess.
Yeah, this is not like a promotional campaign.
Damn,
I think they're just trying to
shafted.
Like.
They were just like, you have to, you get this.
They're just trying to drive like email signups, I think, or
there's
like.
Absolutely no way for, no kickback, no promo code, no way for them to know that we sent you.
No, I think we get like 8 cents per like email signup and like 12
well,
cents
for any email signup from anyone. Wow, you negotiated a hell of a deal. Never mind.
Yeah, so tell all your friends about the Toast 3. It's like how does it work? Like, you recruit them to sell Toast 3s as well, and we'll give you 3 cents of that 8 cents.
That's like one of those trapezoid schemes.
I prefer to call it a trapezoid endeavor.
Well, if I didn't tell you that I had pissed, you would not have known, because that was immaculately clear.
Incredibly silent.
And silent.
No.
It was just pure laminar flow.
No God. Disturbances.
Not one bit. Yes, it was a total, we call that the stealth pisser. Do you ever get that thing where like you think you're done peeing and then you go to wash your hands and then there's like a whole nother piss in there? By the time you're washing your hands,
I can't say that I have, but yeah, sure, I believe this.
I think that that's a me thing. I don't think my bladder is very big.
I've had a similar kind of experience with other bodily functions,
oh,
so
okay.
I get it conceptually.
Okay, yeah, all right, that's good. I'm glad I'm kind of not alone. Adjacently, well, one of my side quests in video gaming this past week, surprising probably nobody, is that I picked up another game for myself to play while I was editing video content and podcast content and, I don't know, being in a bunch of stressful meetings. And that game is a Switch game called Pokemon Shield.
Oh, no.
That's right. Well, so our B segment is, of course, going to be a returning B segment from our Pokemon Violet episode and also the I think the Sunset Show or something around those lines. This is A Wild Pokemon by Any Other Name. This is a quiz show for Alex alone, wherein I tell him the generation and the type of Pokemon and he... and the nickname of the Pokemon that I gave to it, and he has to guess what Pokemon it is.
Okay, this is fun. I like this segment.
Let me go get my Switch. I forgot. I could have... Oh, it's right here. Nope, this case is empty. Where did it go? Did I poop with it?
I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
Oh, right.
How would you know? Oh, I know where it is. In my bed.
That's Nintendo power, baby.
That's not Nintendo power. What are you talking about? These things die so fast. All right. I don't know how much of that audio is usable.
I forget. Am I allowed to have Bulbapedia open or no?
I don't remember. Come on. You can give yourself a little. This Switch volume doesn't.
I'm going to try it and see how badly stumped I get.
Okay.
Or without it. Okay.
Let me get to my boxes here as well. I'm only going to give you maybe 10 or... I didn't name every single Pokemon. I got through this game pretty quick because it's pretty easy, actually. And even then, I did a stipulation. Let's see if you can figure out what the stipulation was for this run to make it a little bit harder on myself.
I mean, see, like, the problem is, like, my knowledge is pretty good up to, like, Gen 5, actually. But, like, Gen 6 on it just collapses.
Oh, don't worry.
So.
This game has a fuck ton of Gen 5. All right. This is my first team member. This is a Generation 4 Dark type named Patricia.
Is this Honchkrow?
It is not Honchkrow.
Oh, no, but is it Miss Magius?
It is not Miss Magius. Both of those games are not in Sword and Shield. As far as I know, I don't have the DLCs. But no, this is in fact a Skuntank.
Oh, nice. Okay. Patricia.
You know,
yes.
Yes. You know, the Skuntank really did a lot for me this round. This... Oh, you're not going to get this one.
He said gleefully.
Yeah, like, no, this is a Generation 8. So did you play this? I don't even know if you played Sword and Shield.
No, I did not. I'm kind of familiar with them, sort of.
Well, this one I did not know about before I picked it up, but it is a Generation 8 Dark type named Ninkit Minjij.
Oh, is this a weird, like, Impidimp thing?
No, it's not. Good guess, though. This is a Thievul. It starts, its pre-evolution is called Nickit, and I was like, oh, that's like the Ninkit.
What is, I've never seen this before. What is this?
I love her.
She's incredible. Yeah,
looks great.
Yeah, she's great. I love her because she was a dark type special attacker. Even though she's like an early sort of partner type Pokemon. Mine was a lady. I thought she was really great. She learned Nasty Plot. She did a bunch of good stuff. Good job. She's on my champion team. This Pokemon is, I think, Generation 5. I'm allowed to have Bulbapedia open so I make sure I don't give you the wrong clue. That's fair. This is a Generation 6. Woo! Good thing I caught myself. Generation 6, Dark type.
Okay, Gen 6, Dark type.
It's not Yveltal.
Yeah, no, that was my first thought. I'm running down the Gen 6 decks in my head. I'm trying to remember.
He's got a Generation 6 dex in his head.
I don't have... No, wait, I was going running down 5. I was running down 5 in my head.
No, this is six, yeah, X and Y.
X and Y, X and Y, X and Y, dark type.
Paris one.
Can you describe its bodily form?
You know what? I'll give you the egg group. It's field and human-like egg groups.
Field and human-like?
Yes.
Oh, No, it's not. It's not by Sharp. That's also Gen 5. God damn it. Gen 6 dark type human shape. I do not know.
This is a Pangoro.
Oh!
The panda.
Okay.
So normally you think of that as a fighting type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As a secondary type of dark. This next one is Generation 8, dark type.
I hate you. Is this Impidimp?
No, it's not. This one is surprising. This is a surprising entry for me as well. What's his name? Hold on. Obstagoon.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Zigzagoon evolution.
I didn't know that existed. I was like, oh, Linoone's dark type. This is cool. And then it just, I was like, what do you mean it's evolving?
I'm familiar with that one in the sense that I think it looks dumb.
I kind of like the Linoone more. Yeah, again, whatever. But I needed power. So
it would be better if it evolved into a Linoone with three heads.
Maybe. This next one. Oh, I didn't even say the nickname of it. I didn't say the nickname of the other two. Fuck! That would have helped.
Oh, yeah, probably. Okay.
Well, no, this wouldn't have helped. The nickname of the Pangoro is... This is like the whole crux of the thing, is I can make jokes about nicknames and I forgot. I'm going to have to do a couple extras. The nickname of the Pangoro is David!
Okay.
Because it looks like David from Schitt's Creek with the black and white sweater.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought.
I've not watched a lot of Schitt's Creek, so you know.
Oh, okay. That's a good show.
Lizzie keeps telling me that we need to watch it.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one. And of course, my Obstagoon is named Tina with two E's.
Sorry, Tina with two
Tina
E's?
Tina with two E's.
Where do the E's go?
T-E-E-N-A.
Oh, okay. I was like, T-I-N-E-E?
Tina. All right, this is the Pokemon's name is Keggles.
Keggles?
And it's Generation 8, Dark type.
Is this Impidimp?
It is in fact Grimmsnarl. You got it. Eventually you are going to get there. Oh my god. You got one. Is this the first time you've got one? Maybe.
I don't know about like ever, but like...
Certainly the one this time around.
It's the only dark type from Gen 8 I know.
That one I also knew because it was in Scarlet and Violet. And this one is Generation 2, dark type.
Okay, this one is either Houndour / Houndoom, or it's Murkrow, or it's possibly Mischievous, or... Oh, what are the dark types? Or Umbreon?
Okay, you have to pick one.
If I get any of those correct, I feel I should get it.
No, you have to pick one. Its nickname is Queen Zeal. That's the help. I forgot.
Queen Zeal.
In all caps.
I'm going with Mischievous or Mismagius.
Bad news, they are not dark types. Oh. So,
then Umbreon.
Tis not Umbreon. Queen Zeal is in fact Tyranitar.
Also dark type.
None of the above. This one. Now you're gonna love this one. This is a Generation 6 fairy type named Wheat.
Named Wheat?
Wheat. Generation 6 fairy type.
Fairy type.
It is
named
the first
Wheat.
Generation with fairy type in it.
Is it The Pokemon looks like a cake.
No.
That's later. That's Isaac Klefki.
It is not Klefki. It is Sylveon.
So,
I wanted it to be an Umbreon, but I forgot that it had baby doll eyes when I leveled it up. And so I lost it. And I'm pissed.
Why is it called wheat?
I don't know. It's funny.
Great. Thanks for the clue. I was like, is it related to food? Does it involve grain somehow?
No, it's just wheat. Next is a Generation 2 dark type called Christ.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it not one of the most obvious ones.
Mm-hmm. That's a hint.
Quillfish?
Good guess. Quillfish is water poison.
Ah!
Water dark is the Hisuian Quillfish.
Ah!
Which is, of course, probably the better one because it's cool. No, it's dark poison is the Quillfish. Anyway, this one is a Sneasel.
Sneasel. And okay, Christ, yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's what I said when I finally fucking caught it.
Okay, yeah, I could have gotten a Sneasel if I thought about it.
Oh my god. We got a couple more here because I'm having fun and I found the rest of my... This one is a Generation 3 and you guessed it, it's a dark type.
Gen 3 dark types. What's the name on this one?
Oh, the name... Thank you so much. I forgot about the name. This is a... I'm just so into it. I just want you to guess Pokemon and I keep forgetting that I'm doing a fucking show. This one's name is Gazpacho.
So it's not a Mightyena then. No.
I will say it does have a secondary type.
Can I get an egg type on this one also?
Yeah, sure. Water 1 and Water 3.
Oh.
That one's kind of a clue.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Okay, this is the shark. The red-blue one turns into the shark.
Sharpedo?
Sharpedo, yes, it's Sharpedo.
This is in fact...
No, it's Crawdont.
It is, in fact, Crawdont! You caught yourself before I said it. It is, because that is a much better name for a Crawdont.
Yes.
Gazpacho. All right. Two more.
Man, Crawdont rules.
Crawdont kind of got benched, actually. Was okay. Kind of a struggle.
Crawdont's design him. Rules.
I loved him, though. He was good. I needed a water type at some point, and then I saw a Corphish, and I was like, yes! I need a water dark. This next one is a Generation 5 dark type, and its name is Gidgin. GIDJ'N.
Can I say the name of this one without feeling bad?
Yes.
Okay.
I have no idea which one you're talking about, but I'm gonna look while you're thinking.
I could be getting the typing wrong.
Unless I'm mistaken and you can't.
Gen 5 dark type. What's the name again?
Oh, the nickname. I was like, I'm not gonna tell you.
Yeah.
It's Gidgin. So I thought, that's a fun way to say something Britishly. Because I kept forgetting that this game was like British until like they just randomly said, hey, you're looking at my Switch.
What?
That was just open.
Oh, I was trying to look away.
That's fine.
Garbodor isn't dark type, is it?
I wish it was. No, it's not. I have all the dark type Pokemon pulled up.
Gen 5 dark type.
Egg group field.
I don't know.
This is a Liepard. The cat.
The cat. Okay.
Yeah, I just need dark types that are early game, whatever. Liepard. What's the one you say you can't say without feeling bad?
Let me say,
I'll cut it out if I have to, but...
Okay, yeah, no, I wasn't sure if...
Cofagrigus.
...was a ghost dark type.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know. It's how it looks. It's how it looks.
Oh my.
Kolfagrigus? I don't know. Kolfagrigus? Cut that out, please.
Okay. That's, I, you know what? No, the sentence, that's
go
done.
Out on that one?
We're done.
Okay. We're done. Great. End of segment.
That was a wild Pokemon by any other name. A lot of fun one. I enjoyed my time in Sword and Shield. That's about it on that. We're not going to do an episode on that because that's not light gaming. That's way too heavy gaming.
That's a big meaty RPG for serious gamers.
We will revisit this once I do the post-game content and the DLC. So stay tuned for more of that. And stay tuned to more, for more of Light Gaming, as next week we are going to be talking about my pick, the win for the winner of the Dawn Trail Predictions, Ultros.
Ultros is sick so far.
It's pretty sick. I'm glad that I got to revisit it. It's a pretty cool psychedelic Metroidvania game. Look forward to our full discussion on that. You can also follow us for more on our Discord and socials. We've got those linked in the link pop of the description of the episode. There's a link there. You can click it, and then I'll have a bunch of other links you can click on. I know that's like a lot of work to click on two links. So if you just want to click on one thing, you could click on the rating button. If you want, that would be nice on whatever podcasting platform of your choice. Would be great to have just the little motivational boost of seeing people like the things that we do. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Light Gaming. I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I was joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say good night to the gamers of Light.
Good evening.
Good evening.
That was sort of, I don't know what I was doing.
I know what you were doing. You were doing a good evening, and I appreciated it.
Sort of a blend of all four NPCs from Nancy Drew.
No, just three of the four.
There was no text in there?
No, there was no. What's her name? Microphone check.
It's time for the microphone check.
It's time for the microphone check.
It's time for the microphone check. It's time for the microphone check.
It's time for the microphone check. Ow! Time for the microphone check.
Check.
Time for the microphone check. Do we both say what?
What?
What? Oh, you said check.
What?
Oh, I'm way too loud. I'm way too loud. No, I'm not.